Good morning and welcome to Journey Church. You know, this morning, I'm so glad to be here with you guys. I'm going to start off by telling you a story. There were these two young boys walking down the street in downtown Montgomery. And then all of a sudden, out from an alley comes a Rottweiler and attacks one of the little boys. The other boy grabs a 2x4 lying near the alley and beats the dog to death and saves his friend's life. Well, as you can imagine, a reporter from an Alabama newspaper gets wind of the story and requests an interview from the first little boy. He runs the story on the front page and the headline reads, "Alabama fan bravely saves friend's life from a rabid Rottweiler." The next day, the boy calls the reporter and says, "Ma'am, I am not an Alabama fan." And the reporter says, "Well, I figured since you were from Alabama that you were an Alabama fan." So she says, "No problem, I'll fix it first thing in the morning." So the little boy goes to get a newspaper, and the front page of the paper reads, "Auburn fan bravely saves little boy from a rabid Rottweiler." Well, the little boy calls the reporter that same day and says, "Listen, I am not an Auburn fan." She goes, "Well, are you even a sports fan? You live in Alabama. If you're not an Auburn fan and you're not an Alabama fan, well, then what fan are you?" And the boy says, "Oh, I love sports." And he says, "I'm from Arkansas. I am an Arkansas Razorback fan." The paper comes out the next day. "Redneck idiot kills faithful family pet." You see, that was the viewpoint that this reporter had. You know, see, a lot of times in our lives, how we worship has to do with how we're viewing things. So this morning, I want to answer this question. What does worship mean to me, and how do I worship? If you received a bulletin this morning, you should have got your thing called your sermon notes or your sermon outline. So if you would, just go ahead and pull that out. And on the back of that paper, it should say something like this: "How do I worship?" I want you to take just a moment. We're going to take it. It's going to be really long and awkward pause, but I want you to take that out, and I want you to write, when you think of the word worship, what does that mean? Of course, as I look around here, all the men seem to be done, and all the women are still riding. You see, men don't like to talk about how they feel, and worship is kind of like a feelings word. So we're gonna go ahead and wrap this part up. Now, some of you may have words like faithfulness or love or, you know, giving your praise to God. Well, those can all be right, but this morning I want to dive deeper into this word worship, and I really want us to understand, how do we worship with our life? You see, I think one of the reasons we don't know how to worship is because society or our parents or what we view all the time has taught us to worship the wrong things, and in doing so, they've misplaced our value system about what things are important in life. Maybe it's tough for you to hear to worship on Sundays because you don't understand how to worship. Maybe it's tough because you've been a Christian for so long and you don't remember what it's like when you were first saved and you worship God all the time. My goal today is to help us understand what worship means, and we have to learn to celebrate the good things. Now, what do I mean when I say that we worship the wrong things? How many of you in this room have heard of someone by the name of Julia Roberts? Yes, yes. Most of us in this room have heard of Julia Roberts. Now, how many of you, she's a great actress. How many of you have heard of a guy named Luke Bryan? Ah, yes, I'm sure all the ladies in here have heard of Luke Bryan, because I'm sure it's because of his singing capabilities. I'm sure it has nothing to do with anything else. Now I'm going to ask you guys if you've heard of a third person. His name is Lee Jong Rock. How many of you ever heard of him? No one. No one in this room has heard of a man named Lee Jong Rock. Now, it just goes to show that society has put in front of us over and over and over about these things that fill our mind that don't matter, that aren't important. See, let me tell you about Lee Jong Rock. Lee Jong Rock is a South Korean pastor. One day he was trying to discern the voice of God because in South Korea there is a huge orphan problem. Millions and millions of orphans where people, you know, can't afford to or don't want to take care of their children. So orphanages are overrun, and as you can imagine, that creates lots of problems within the country. So one day Lee Jong Rock was praying. He was saying, God, what can I do? What can we as a church do? And one day he had this idea. I'm going to cut a hole in the side of my church. And I'm going to build this box on the side of our building. And it's going to have a fold down thing similar to that of a U.S. Post box that, like you go to the post office. It's going to pull it down. You're going to be able to set your baby in this box. And you'll be able to shut the door. Now, he's equipped it with air conditioning and heating and all those things to keep the baby safe. And then you're going to be able to walk away with no questions asked, and someone's going to take care of your baby. To this day, Lee Jong Rock has saved over 650 babies. And ladies and gentlemen, that is something to worship. God spoke to someone. And he went out and he acted. That's something to worship. But, you know, society has taught us that, you know, money and fame and acting and beauty are all things to worship. You know what? God has given us all talents and all a place to worship. We just have to learn to worship the right way. So let's go ahead and jump into the word here this morning. We're going to be reading from John 4, and we're going to start in chapter 1. I'm sorry, we're going to start in verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, the book of John, and it goes like this. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had gone through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, as tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the wall. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. Verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and livestock?" Verse 13, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the living water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." Verse 17, she replied, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you are with now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Verse 19, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet." Verse 20, "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. You see, what I want you guys to see from this is, here you have God talking to this woman, yet in verse 23, a time is coming. Now a time is coming. I believe that as Christians, the time is now where we have to stand up and worship God with our life. Now, on your outline this morning, our main point today is our life is our own personal stage in which we worship God. Now, I'm not talking about a stage in your life like middle or old or young. I'm saying you have a fictional or made-up stage. Just like we worship here this morning, you know, through music, you have a stage. Just like Matt sings, you have a place where you can worship as well. God expects us to worship with our life. You know, I want you to turn to your notes and into our first point. It says this: worship is not something God does for us. Worship is something we do for God. Let me try to break that down for you. Let me speak to married people in here, or even teenagers, or all these people in this room. When, you know, I don't know about you, but I really love my wife, and I really think she is so awesome. In fact, she's out there in the audience this morning, and I love to brag on her to people, and I love to tell people how great she is, and man, she's the hottest thing, and she's so fine, and she is so smart, and she is so driven. And she is such an amazing woman. And I go around, I like to brag on my wife, I'm not going to lie. But at the end of the day, that's great. And that's good. But if I'm not worshiping my wife personally, if I'm not worshiping her face to face, if I just go around and tell people I worship, you know what that's called? That's called lip service. And that may be cool for a little while, but after a while, that's going to get old. I want us to understand that lip service is meaningless if you're not worshiping God with your life. And so we come here and we call these our worship services, and that's great. But we really, you know, really don't come here, you know, to worship. I mean, worship is what we do with our life. Yes, it is so powerful. We come here. It is so powerful each week when we stand and lock arms with other Christians and we get to say, you know what? We are worshiping the one true God, and I think it's important that we be here every Sunday to do that. And God honors that, and God loves that. But let's not minimize our worship to singing. Let's not minimize our worship to Sunday church. It is a part of worship. It is a form of worship, but it is not worship. Now, on your notes, it says, what is not worship? I'm going to start with this. Worship is not music. Worship is not an event. Worship is not a feeling. And worship is not confined to one day a week. Because you see, you know what? If you have a great wife and she deserves to have part, you know, you worshiping her, you know, there's going to be times where you don't feel like worshiping her. There's going to be times when, you know, you don't think she's the greatest thing. But you know what? God is the greatest thing. God deserves our worship every day. And when we limit our worship to music, or we limit it to an event or a feeling, or, you know, just one day a week when we come to church, that's not what God wants. You know, think of it this way. If we're going around bragging on our wife and doing all these things, imagine if you only talked to your wife or told your wife your something good about her one day a week. Let's just say every Sunday morning you had it on the calendar, 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. or 10:45. You're going to go to your wife and you're going to just spend, you know, 10, 15 minutes, because that's how long the music is here. 10 or 15 minutes, and you're just going to say, honey, I love you. Honey, you're awesome. Honey, we believe in you. Now, that's great that you can do that, but, you know, worship should be every day. You know, I said earlier that worship is not something God does for us. Worship is something we do for God. Let's just say if we, you know, took the same mentality that we have in church, because here's the reality of church is that we come in here and, you know, well, if the music isn't right or, you know, if the sermon's not exactly what we needed to hear, we think we needed to hear, or if the sound was a little off or, you know, if something just didn't quite go right or someone was a little rude to you. When we leave church, we sit down at the lunch table and we think things like this. You know, well, service was just okay today. And, you know, worship, I really just couldn't feel worship. I wasn't getting into worship. They weren't singing the right songs or excuse me, or they weren't, you know, it just the lighting wasn't right in there. And it was just a little cold in the sanctuary. You know, when you begin to treat worship like an event, or you begin to treat it like, you know, it's one day, that's when your danger comes in. Is it's not really a personal relationship that you're having with Christ. It's a one day a week thing where you come to church, and worship has to be more than that. It has to be more than that. Hey, listen, as humans, we're all prone to be negative and pick out things, and that's part of our nature. But, you know, we've got to learn to see the positive in life. We've got to learn to worship the good things in life and not the meaningless things like sound and lights and all those things that they're awesome, you know, and we're thankful for them. But at the end of the day, what really matters is God. Being a worshiper isn't easy, but it's worship. Let's go to point number two. God is seeking worshipers. Everybody say that with me. God is seeking worshipers. Let's go back to our passage. It says in verse 23, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." You know, as I was reading that, and it was saying that God is seeking worshipers, and it was, I couldn't help but give this, think of this analogy of this whole father-son thing, and I'm his son. And I can remember thinking, reading this in my mind, not really raising my hand because that would be weird, but in my mind, raising my hand, it's like, God, I want to be a worshiper. God, pick me. I want to do things pleasing to you. I want to do things that matter. I want to walk in your will. I want to listen to you. I want to discern your voice. I want to do things that really matter and are life changing. And you know, when I was reading that, that's what I was thinking. And as I read on, it says the Father is seeking those who are worshiped in spirit and in truth. Those are the kind of worshipers that God seeks. So there's two words that stick out to us in this passage, and it's spirit and truth. And you know, at a first glance, you know, anytime we hear the word spirit, you know, as Christians, we automatically think of the Holy Spirit. But that didn't really make sense in this passage. We can't worship in the Holy Spirit. That's like, that just doesn't make sense. And I really feel like what God is talking about in this passage is, you know, your spirit takes place down inside of you. Think of it like this, in spirit and in truth. When your kids are growing up and you're speaking truth into their life and you're telling them and teaching them right from wrong and you're pouring into them and you're uplifting them and encouraging them, you want that not just to be a one-time thing. You want that to get deep down in their spirit. You want all the truth that you're telling them to get deep down in their spirit. And I think that's what God's talking about here, is that it's referring to our spirit. We have to worship Him from deep down inside of us, not just some, you know, half-hearted worship. Because here's the deal. Worship takes place in the heart. That's where worship happens. It's in your heart. Once it comes into your heart, it shows in every area of your life. But worship has to take place in our hearts. We must understand our own personal worship stage. We're going to take a minute. Every time I speak in here, I want to do my best to find a real-life journey story of someone who has something to do with this message. I found this about worship. Actually, God brought it to me laid it at my doorstep. Let's check out this video from Wendy.
My name is Wendy Tudela, and I'm going to tell you my favorite transformation story ever, and it's all about my son Devin. Devin was diagnosed with moderate autism at 5 years old, and he he was the sweetest little boy. He was the most frustrating little boy at the same time. It was very difficult. That same year was the year that I came to Christ, and I really wanted to instill good Christian values into my children. I wanted them to know and love Jesus as much as I did. And that was extremely difficult for a child who couldn't understand. Devin had a comprehension at 5. It was love close to a 1-year-old, if that. He spoke only in echolalia for the longest time, which is repeating things or delayed repeating things. And so he would say, "Devin, what do you want for a snack?" And he would say a movie quote. And it was like, how do you teach the Bible to a child who can't comprehend the smallest thing? So I prayed about it, and it was one day, and it was in church. And a man named Steele was the drummer of the Discovery Church in California, where we were stationed many years ago. And Devin just lit up. He lit up so much. There was just this glow about him. He was so mesmerized by it. And that's when it hit me. That is how I'm going to teach him. That is how it's going to happen. So Christian music was all over our house. It was in our car. It was everywhere we were going. Everything that we did, it was playing in the background. Good quality, hearty Christian music. Chris Tomlin, Hillsong, Casting Crowns. Those songs come straight from Scripture. And that is how Devin memorized a lot of Scripture. He was changing. He was transformed because of worship music. He was able to sit still in church and really grasp and comprehend what was going on, what people were saying. And then, you know, he's coming up to me and he's asking me questions about Jesus and the songs that he's heard. And then I get to talk to him. You know, it was around age 10 that he got baptized. And it wasn't not too far long after that that Devin tested out of speech therapy, and then eventually he tested out of special education, and at a point in time he was supposed to be going 80% of the school year, and then it was no longer at all. He plays multiple instruments. Devin is leaps and bounds from where he was when he was diagnosed. I bet most of you are thinking, I would have never have guessed this. You know why? Because God has done beautiful things in my son's life. He was able to give him this amazing talent, and not only does Devin love worship music, and that's how he learned about God, and that's how he got to understand about God, but now he also plays it. He's multi-talented. He plays the keyboard and the ukulele and the guitar, and you see him every Sunday morning playing in this box, you know, just beating those drums for the Lord. And I don't know where we would be without worship music. I don't want to imagine Devin's life without worship.
I truly believe that the greatest thing we can do is to use the stage God has given us to worship Him. Because make no bones about it, we all have a stage. You know, when this hit me is when I was recording this video that you just watched and heard. When I was recording it, and I was listening to Wendy, and I was looking into the camera, and I was hearing her talk about how her son is using the gifts that God has given him to teach other people how to worship and to lead other people in worship and to touch lives. And I truly believe, as I looked into that camera, it was like the light bulb went off. This is exactly how worshiping God is. Pleasing God is using the things that He's given His children to worship Him. And the greatest way we can worship Him is to love others. You know, there might be somebody in here this morning that has never, never made that decision to to accept Christ? Well, this morning we're going to give you that opportunity. If you've never accepted Christ, we're not going to embarrass you, but I want everyone to close your eyes right now. If you sincerely this morning say, I need to get my life on track, I need to accept Christ into my life, I need to be a worshiper, and I need to start my decision today. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? You just couldn't raise your hand. That's okay. I want you to repeat these words silently in your heart. This is not a time to embarrass you or to call you out, but just pray these words right in your heart. Dear Lord, I need you. I believe in you. This morning, I want to make you Lord of my life. This morning, I'm standing here today saying, I believe in the cross and I need your grace and I need you in my life. Please come into my life and forgive me of all the things that I've done wrong. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. This is some things I want to leave you with today. I need you to pray every day that God would reveal you your stage, meaning, how do you want my life to be used in worship? If it's, you know what, you're going to be incredible at your job, or you're going to be a great father, or you're going to be a great mother, we have to understand that we all have a stage, and some of us don't know what that stage is yet. So we need to discern God's voice that he would reveal our stage. Number two is, we need to pray this week that we would use our stage to worship God. Some of us, like Julia Roberts and Luke Bryan, they're not using the stage God has given them for worship. And the third thing is, I want you every day to read Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. And it's actually the last verse I'm going to leave you with. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with our music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. I want to challenge you guys to be the worshipers that God is seeking. Let's use our lives to worship him. Thank you guys for listening today. I love y'all.